And I think friendships, sometimes you end up being with friends or you make friends with people who you thought you would never be friends with. Friendship isn't just someone that you have all the same qualities and interests. But sometimes God puts you in situations and you develop friendships that will last a lifetime, which you might not think of at the first time. So I shared with the kids that when I was in Africa, I made friends that I'm still friends with and I will be friends with forevermore. And we might not speak to each other in a year or 6 months or what, however long. But once you pick up the phone or the text or I don't know, what is it? A video call or whatever, FaceTime, the time seems to just be no object. And I do believe that that is from God, like a true friendship. And that's something to be hung on to and to be cherished. I would never have been friends with them in normal life. They're very outgoing, loud American, Australian, invade your personal space, which most of you know that hugs are sometimes off my radar, but these are people that you sit on the sofa, a three-seat sofa, and there's two empty seats and they'll sit on the other half of the section that you're sat on. So for me, they weren't the people that I would naturally be drawn to, but they are lifetime friends that even though we might not talk every day and they live on the other side of the world, they are friends that, like Perry shared, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I can ring them and they'll be at the end of the phone. So yeah, so basically that was a little bit of fun. We like to have fun in youth and find obscure kind of spiritual kind of insight in weird things. But during our time, we've been talking about friendship. And so we kind of a bit more serious, like school. We had, I'm sure you all did it in school, where you have a word and then each letter of that word, you try and find the word that represents that word. It's a very long-winded way of saying it. So we had the word friendship and we wanted to pick a word for each letter that would be a quality or a characteristic that we think is important in a good friend. So we're talking about good friends today. So Ethan, Samuel, and Ella are gonna, we're gonna split it up, the letters of that word, and they're just gonna share what they have come up with and what some of the other youth have come up with. So we're gonna start off with Big Eth. He should be on there. Are you ready to go, Ethan? Yeah.
Yeah.
Here he is.
When it comes to friendship, we've got three letters that I'm focusing on, which is F-R-I. So I'm going to go through the three letters and what I wrote, and then I'm going to tell you a bit more about one. So for the first one, for F, I got faithful. Then for the second one, which is R, I got reliable, because you want to have reliable friends that you can trust on. And then I, which is interesting, because there's no point in having boring friends, because you want friends that you can connect with and have positivity with. So more talking about faithful now. Let's look at the story of the Good Samaritan. So basically, this is in Luke, yeah? And this guy is beaten, he's stripped of clothing, and he's left half dead. First of all, a Jewish priest leaves him. They don't do anything. Then a Levite leaves him. But then a Samaritan, and they don't get along with the Jews, still decided to give him a room in a hotel and look after him. So it shows, like, no matter what race you are, no matter how young or old you are, you can still be a friend to someone and you can still help them and stuff like that and be a faithful friend.
Awesome. Thanks, well, Ethan. See, it doesn't matter how old or how young you are, this guy can impart wisdom on us. And so it just shows that different ages, friendship has no boundaries, and picking wise friends is important. Thanks for sharing that, Ethan. So you're going to hand over to Sam. Sam the man. Samuel, really. Sam. Sam's got some tricky letters, so give him some credit.
For my qualities of a good friend, I've got letter E, N, and D. For E, I've chosen exciting, because I love anything outdoors and that involves exciting activities that I can do with friends. For N, I've got noble. The definition of noble is someone who shows fine personality qualities or high moral principles. For D, I've chosen daring. This suits me as I like a friend who likes a challenge.
Awesome. We struggled with N. So noble is a good shout, Sam. I like the thought that went into that, because all we had is nice, which is good. Boring. Or we had naughty, and we were like, well, you know, we weren't quite sure. Thanks, Sam. So we're going to hand over to Els. Els has got four letters. She's got ship. So we're going to hand over to Els, or Ella, should I say.
Yeah, so I've got S, H, and I, and P. So for S, I've chosen supportive, because it's someone who can always be there for you and someone that will support you no matter what and no matter what you're going through, which is just great to have a friend like that. And for H, I did happy, because if you're surrounded by happy people, it can make you feel happy also, which is good. For I did the same as Ethan. I did interesting, because if you have an interesting friend, there's lots you can find, you can talk about and do together, and they can be interested in what you have to say, which is nice. For P, I chose perseverant, because if you have a perseverant friend, it can help you keep going and help you to never give up. And also, you know, they won't give up on you.
Perfect. Thank you, Els. So I wonder if any of those qualities that these wonderful youth have shared with you guys, did you come up with any that were the same? Or would you then like maybe switch out some of the qualities that you thought and substitute some that they said? It's just a good thing to challenge us of what friendship should be. But the bigger question is we all want friends and we want to have good friends. But the challenge is that I set the youth as well, is the qualities that we look for in friends, are they in us? So what we look for, which we want because it's good, are we actually being that? Because 9 times out of 10, those qualities that we're looking for represent God and Jesus and being like Jesus. And so that was the challenge that we set. It's like, are we being those qualities to our friends? Which I thought was quite cool. So I'm going to actually hand over to Els. She's heavily participating this morning. She's just going to read. So basically, you should all, well, that's kind of a thing. But Proverbs, we've been looking at Proverbs, because Proverbs is a go-to book, handbook, guide. We're full of wisdom. And so a lot of the verses that we've been looking at being a good friend and friendship, come with Proverbs. So Els is just going to read a couple of passages, well, not passages, but verses from Proverbs for us. Over to you, Els.
Proverbs 27, verses 9. Perfume and incense bring joy into the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from heartfelt advice. Proverbs 27, 17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And I like this verse because it reminds you that if you have a good friend with you, they're like sharpening you into being a better person and always reminding you to do the right thing until you get into the best you can be. Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Proverbs 12:26, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. And also, as I was reading down the page, I found the verse, Proverbs 27:19, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. And that made me be like, oof, is the way I'm living my life reflecting what I want people to see in my heart? And relating that to friendship, I think the qualities we look for in a friend, we want to show in our life. And if we live them in our life, then when people look into our heart, or how our life reflects our heart, then we can see Jesus. And that's what it's all about, showing that we are like Jesus in our heart.
Beautiful, Els. Can you just read that last Proverbs again? That last one. Read it slow so everyone can like let it sink in, because that was deep.
Proverbs 27:19. As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects their heart.
Beautiful. I'm so proud of these guys. Like, they read the Bible and they carry on reading and they kind of just see what it says and then reflect on it. And you guys, like, we learn just as much as they learn from us that we learn from them. And it's great. They often share with us and it kind of hits you sometimes. And that's true. Like, we do want to be like that. And what we reflect should be Jesus. And in our friendship, we should be reflecting that. So thanks for sharing that, Els. It's kind of cool. It's powerful. Thanks, Al. So I'm going to hand over. So Di's going to share a little bit, and then Shay's going to share a little bit, and then I'm going to share a little bit of what we have, kind of what's been on our hearts a little bit over the last couple of weeks and as we've been going through friendship. So I'm just going to hand over to Di. He's on strict instructions to keep it short. So we'll see how he does.
Whatever strict instructions are. Yeah, I wouldn't want to incur the wrath of Harriet of Phillips. So you set the alarm clock. I'm just going to stick to my notes, because if I start wavering off, I'll probably start getting emotional and start blubbering. So what I did, I shared on Zoom. I was teaching the second session of three on friendship. And my verse was Proverbs 12, verse 26, which in my version, which is the NLT, says, "The godly give good advice to their friends, the wicked lead them astray." The godly give good advice to their friends, the wicked lead them astray. And we shared with the youth that, you know, stating the obvious, but it's always good to state the obvious and remind us that friendship is possibly one of the most wonderful things and most important things that we can know and experience as human beings. What does scripture say about the purpose behind our friendships, and understand the important role that friends have in our lives? And we had various scriptures going through Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Acts, confronting sin and keeping each other in line. It's what friendships are about. Giving helpful advice and counsel, which is a lovely word for advice, basically. Giving helpful advice and counsel when needed. Building each other up, which is massive. Building each other up and improving each other. Encouraging and strengthening each other. Helping meet the needs of one another. And we were sharing, if I can put it, some crazy stories and good times that we've experienced in friends. Young Sam Crockford came out with one which made me really laugh, but I'm sorry, I can't quite remember what it was. But then Sam always makes me laugh anyway. And we just saw how friendships serve as an important purpose in shaping us, not just as people, but shaping us into the kind of people that God wants us to be. So we need to take our friendship seriously. And this includes making wise choices. So my session of teaching was all about choices with friendships. So it includes making wise choices regarding who we call friends. So why is this important? And again, we picked up on scriptures, Proverbs, 1 Corinthians. It's good to be cautious when choosing friends. I think I'll repeat these if I may, because they're also very important. And these are taken from scripture. Proverbs 12, 26. It's good to be cautious when choosing friends. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11. Basically, do not hang out with people that are involved in sin. Do not hang out with people that are involved in sin. And I mean, you can split, or you can just spread the word sin, but I think you get the impression. Don't hang out with people that are looking to do nasty things or being nasty pasties, as we would say. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, basically teaches us that bad company will corrupt good habits. And I tried to think of an illustration here as best I could. And the one I could think of, obviously, was for the young people. And I've been there, and I'm sure we've all been there. Instead of going to church on a Sunday, going to youth meetings, gathering with Christian friends, there are friends or people who maybe unbeknown to them, they're not aware of it, but they will draw you away from that because they think that it's more important to go to a party or to go into town or to go to a match or a pop concert or something like that. You have to be very discerning about things like that. Bad company will corrupt good habits. Proverbs 19, verse 6 and 7, basically talks about watch out for people who want to use you. Watch out for people who want to use you. And Proverbs 13, verse 20, having wise friends will make you wise. Having wise friends will make a person or to make you wise. So what should we do when we're choosing friends? When making friends, scripture does not imply or suggest that we should just hang out with whoever will hang out with us. Rather, scripture, God, invites us, teaches us, that we are told to carefully choose individuals who demonstrate godliness, because we are looking at this from a Christian point of view. And because Proverbs, as Harry said, is rammed full of wisdom, that we are to carefully choose individuals who demonstrate godliness. And there was two questions I left with the youth to ask themselves. One, if you're with a friend, will this person bring me closer to God or pull me away from him? Will this person bring me closer to God or pull me away from him? And secondly, is this person living the kind of life that God would want me to live? Is this person living the kind of life that God would want me to live? Because in order to enjoy good friendships, we must first have good friends. Only then will we be able to enjoy the benefits that God offers through those relationships. And that's basically what we shared with the youth that morning. So thank you very much. Back to you, H.
Awesome. Thanks, Di. See, he's full of wise words. And he kept it short and sweet. Thanks, Di. Okay. So
I can come back again next week, can I?
So I'm just going to hand over to Shay. Shay's normally my wrapper-upper and prayer girl. She sums up everything we've been talking about and puts it into prayer, which is awesome. But she's just going to share something that's been on her heart this morning.
Oh, thanks, guys. Oh, I just, you know what? I'm so absolutely proud of every single one of our youth that are here, that aren't here, our leaders. I have just absolutely loved this journey that we've been taking through friendship. And one of the things that really has made my heart so happy is that really friendship is so kind of woven into one of our first values, isn't it? I mean, our values don't have an order. They are. And that's that be and belong, isn't it? You know, to be and belong, to be able to be and belong is to have friendship, you know, to have friendship right at the center. So, and I love the book of Proverbs. It's probably one of my favorites. They're all great books. But I really love it. And Di mentioned a real key word about Proverbs, which has been lovely to just kind of take the youth through. But it's that word wisdom. Okay, wisdom. And so I've got a quick question for you guys. And I want you to, you know, unmute and just shout at me or speak loudly or sing if you have to. But I want to know, what do you think wisdom is? Describe wisdom to me. What would you say wisdom is? So yeah, just give it to me. Don't hold back. I see Chantel going for it there.
Integrity.
Integrity, yeah.
The application of knowledge.
Application of knowledge, yeah. Anybody else?
Practicality.
Practicality. Yeah.
Okay. That's right. Discernment.
Discernment, yeah. Yeah. One more. Who's gonna go first? 3, 2, 1. Cool.
Spiritual principles practically applied.
Spiritual principles practically applied. I love that. And those are all absolutely part of what wisdom is. But what I love is there's a verse in Proverbs which tells us exactly what wisdom is. And that's found in Proverbs 9, verse 10. And it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I love that. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, okay? And what really, really sums it up well, I love it, is the message version, and I just want to read that for you quickly. Skilled living gets its start in the fear of God. Insight into life from knowing a holy God. It's through me, Lady Wisdom, that your life deepens and the years of your life ripen. Live wisely and wisdom will permeate your life. Mock life and life will mock you. You know, it's talking about the years of your life will ripen. In other words, you'll have longer, richer lives. And for me, I was really thinking, what does the fear of the Lord mean? What does that mean? I mean, we can come up with all kinds of things. But I thought, you know what? The fear of the Lord really is just loving what Jesus loves and hating what Jesus hates. And, you know, as we've been journeying through our behaviors, and this is what they are, our values, our behaviors, and what we've been taking the youth through, all those qualities of friendship, well, they're behaviors, aren't they? They're heart attitudes. We can say, oh, we want a friend who we, you know, trust is important, or honesty is important, or integrity, and all those amazing things that you've shared, which would be qualities of a friend as well, to a degree. But unless they translate into behaviors, they're just words. And so for us, what we've been journeying with youth, and what's really important to me, is how do the qualities or the things for me, those things that I believe are the fear of the Lord, loving what Jesus loves, hating what Jesus hates, how can I be the person who walks out in action the things that Jesus loves and in action hates the things that Jesus hates? Unless they're translated to behaviors, daily behaviors, they're just words. And so it's been beautiful to witness, and I love how Harry said we've set a challenge for the youth to actually be those people, be the people who are wanting, you know, trust in a friend, who are wanting integrity in a friend, who are wanting honesty, who are wanting kindness. And Ella, I love your shirt. It sums it up beautifully, you know, kindness, which is just love in action. So that's just a little bit for me. I didn't want to go on forever, otherwise I'll start a mini preach. So yeah, over to you, Harry.
Cool, fab. So now you've got me for 5 minutes. I'll keep it short and sweet and try and wrap it up. Yeah, so we've been doing friendship, and as we were sat on the scout field, it was gorgeous weather, you know. I thought we were being practical for cold weather, wet weather, and it didn't cross my mind that I would need to remind them to bring sun cream and a sun hat and a sunshade and everything else as we're on the scout field and it's like 25 degrees and it's beating down on us. I didn't put that into a factor, but God was good and showed up and we had wonderful weather and our ice cream didn't melt. But as we were sat on the field, it really just came across to me that friendship is just runs from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. It's from the beginning of time and it will be until the end of time, that it's that relationship that we have with Jesus and how he's put in place these ways our relationship can be mended and that we can have a relationship with him. We can have a friendship with him. And it just kind of goes back to Acts. It's all entwined. It's community, it's fellowship, it's church. And like I said at the beginning, it was something that as an introvert, somebody that's quite happy to spend a lot of time on their own, during lockdown, it kind of really shocked me at how much, like the first month, a couple of months was fine. Like the first lockdown, I didn't really struggle with at all. But the second lockdown, I was like, it's important to me that I, even though it might be a small amount of people that I do, that I have that fellowship. And house group has been really major in that. I never thought I'd be a massive plug for house group. I can probably see Chris and Michelle laughing in their caravan. If they're still on the screen, yeah, they are. But they got me to join their house group. And so through lockdown, it was a really big part because obviously church, sometimes I was with the youth. So it kind of kept me grounded. And in that group now I have friends and friendship. And with friendship, it can be a bit scary and you have to be vulnerable. And I think we can all say that however young or old that we are, you go through seasons where friendships end and sometimes it can be hurtful and you can be hurt and you might have pain. But it's important that we don't put up walls and stop people from getting back into our hearts. I'm a fine one to talk. Sometimes I find it easier just to not let people in because then I can cope better. But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to be friends and to be good friends. And so, yeah, I sat on that scout field. It really challenged me not to do that and to be more open. And these kids in school, they go through so much pressure of finding somewhere that they feel safe and to have friends. And it was just like to, for them, just to know that it's okay to be them and not to settle, to try and find a group of friends. Because in high school, I didn't have a best friend. I had a group of girls that I hung out with, but I never had a best friend. And there's a couple of times that I had to make a call whether I continue to hang out with them or whether I stopped, because they were going, like Sunday mornings, they were going out and stuff, and I had to make a call with church. And so you go through these times, but these kids, it's hard in school because it's not just at school, it's social media, it's always, it's 24/7 and they can't switch off. And so Perry very wisely said when we were on our breakout thing, you only really have five friends. You might have hundreds of friends on Facebook or followers on Instagram or, you know, people following your tweets on Twitter, but people that you actually call friends, you don't have that very many. And when you find them, you need to hang on to them. But yeah, you can go through a painful season when somebody does hurt you. But we need to set ourselves higher and we need to be open again to be in those friendships. But yeah, iron sharpens iron was a really big key verse for me. I saw this video and he said, you know, like when you're a child and they give you children's scissors, which are really impractical for doing much. And it's really frustrating, I found. Like it doesn't, you know, if you get through paper, you're good. But when you're in school, the teacher trusts you to have used their scissors, those adult scissors. You feel so proud of yourself. But they can cut through the paper like anything. And that's what iron sharpens iron. It's a mutual sharpening, which Ella briefly talked about as well. Like it's both people working together. It's not one-sided. And it, if you've got dull scissors, you're not going to be effective. You're not going to be useful. And I like to be useful and practical. If it's not practical, it kind of goes over my head. So it really challenged me. Am I that person to somebody else? So that's where the challenge that I set the kids from, because it challenged me. It's in your friendships, do you have people in your life that make you better? Do you have people, friends in your life that add value to your life? And do you have friends in your lives that help you grow? And then if those answers are yes, then fab. But the next challenge is to the friends that you have in your life, are you that person that makes them better? Are you that person that adds value to their lives? And are you that person in their lives that helps them grow? And they can be Christian, they can be non-Christians, but are you that person? And if they are Christian, are you being intentional to share your journey? Are you being intentional of growing each other's faith and being accountable? And it really got me thinking of people in my life, people that in my circle, whether like, are they challenging me? And just to share like a practical example, which I shared with the youth as well. Most of you know that I started a new job I think it's about 2 months ago now. And it's been a challenge to say, it's been challenging. But one week I was a bit stressed because I had to start like from scratch and open the entire shop, which meant baking all the bread, the donuts, all the pastries, when I'd only been shown like twice. And you have to get it all done before open. I was a bit stressed. And I was like, not confident that I could do it. And I like being confident to know that I can do a job and do it well. And so I shared it in home group. And I asked them just to pray for me, like later on in the week. And I left it at that. And then I go to bed reasonably early. I have to get up at 4 o'clock to be in work for 5. So I go to bed generally a little bit earlier these days. But when I woke up that morning that I had to open, I had several messages from my friends in my home group, just say that they were praying for me. And so during that time when I was opening, even though it didn't go completely smoothly, I was at peace about it and I knew that I was covered. And so that just comes from friendship, of building trust. And they were just friends to me. And they were those people that were making my life better, adding value to that. And they were helping me grow. And so it challenged me. And am I that person like they are to me? And then like, I have to start making friends again. And, you know, friendship, it doesn't come naturally to me. Like, I kind of like to keep myself to myself. But Chris and Michelle, they're like my nan. They like, well, what my nan used to be. They just talk about Jesus all the time. They're in the supermarket and they're talking to the cashier about Jesus. And so it was just challenging me just to be bold and just to be like, you know, I go to church, blah, blah, blah. And so me being involved with the youth, it was a way, because they often say, guys in work, they're like, oh, what are you doing this weekend? And I've been able to share, you know, that we were having McDonald's and McFlurries with the youth, that we were having pizza and ice cream cake. And so in just small ways, I get to share Jesus with them, or what my relationship is, you know, that I go to church. And so they're now asking me on the, you know, on a Saturday, oh, have you got church? Have you got youth tomorrow? Are you doing anything with the youth? And just asking questions about it. And so iron sharpens iron, and it's taking inspiration from your friends, like say for me, like Chris and Michelle, that share Jesus openly with the shoppers in, you know, Tesco's or Aldi or Morrison's or wherever they are. It's making me sharper to be bold enough to share Jesus with other people in my new job. So I hope that just enlightens you of where I'm coming from. But we have to remember, like, ultimately, like, we're all going to fail at being friends because we're human, because we suck sometimes. But there's Proverbs 18:24, and it just points the direction of the true friend, that there is only one true friend, and that is Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, that three in one. And he, all those qualities that you look for, that even that wisdom, all those qualities that we look for, he's the perfect example. And during highs and lows, that Jesus will never change, and he's that perfect friend. So don't lose hope if you are going through a messy relationship, friendship, messed up, or your friend isn't quite there for you. We have Jesus, and he's on a direct line. You don't have to have data. You don't have to have the internet. You don't have to have a phone line. It's just opening your mouth or your brain and just having a little chat with him and having a prayer with him. So that's what stood out to me. I've gone on long enough. So what I'm just going to do is, a couple of our youth have moved on, and a couple of our youth, we've got a couple of new youth coming up. So I've asked Nia if she would just pray for the kids that are coming up from her groups into youth. And then I've asked Val just to pray for a couple of them who are now old and have moved on. And we don't want to forget the older youth as well. We got a Lenith and a Darren. And we've got plenty of youth that are moving up. Well, they're not even youth anymore. They're adults. They're young people. I'm not calling them youth anymore. They're adults. But yeah, just to, for you guys to remember that they're around, that they're in having life and they're growing. And just if you have a spare minute, just to pray for them, that would be great. But I'm just going to hand over to Nia and to Val, if that's okay. So Nia first, if that's all right.